Good evening. It's a privilege and honor to worship with my Vietnamese brothers and sisters. Amen. You know, Korea and Vietnam has good relations, and I'd like to continue that. In fact, Vietnamese are a sizable minority in Korea right now, and I know people in South Korea love pho, and there are a lot of pho restaurants in Seoul. So many Korean farmers are marrying Vietnamese wives, and so there's a sizable minority there. So praise God for the national good tidings between the two nations. Amen. The title of my message is called Fixing Scandals. Fixing Scandals. God is in the business of fixing our scandals. So before I begin, let's have a word of prayer and ask for God's presence as we study His Word briefly here today. Let us pray. Our Father and God in heaven, Father, we thank You for Your mercy and grace. We thank You for allowing us to freely to worship together here this evening, and we ask for Your Holy Spirit in this room. And in spite of myself, that Your people be blessed by the preaching of the Word, and that I be a blessing and not a curse to Your people. And so, Father, we ask for Your Holy Spirit to fill our minds, fill our hearts, and we'll be convicted of the love and mercy that You have for us and the work that You have us to do. Help us to love You, Father, with the love that You desire us to have. We thank Thee for Your love, and may Your Holy Spirit be with us abundantly without measure. This we pray in Jesus' name. About 17 years ago, there was an 18-year-old basketball prodigy from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, named Kobe Bryant. Now, when Kobe Bryant came into the league, he was portrayed as a good boy. He was the perfect. He had a high GPA. He went to the prom with another then-innocent pop star named Brandy. They were called the Innocent Couple. And he was revered as the ultimate good boy role model. But then in March 15, 2007, that good boy image went out the scene. Because at that time, in Littleton, Colorado, I believe, or somewhere in Colorado, after he got knee surgery, Kobe Bryant was charged with rape. So in a blink of an eye, one incident of committing adultery and not confirming or not knowing if he did or did not, charged with forcing someone in that act, caused his good boy image to go out of the scene. In fact, when the scandal happened, McDonald's and Sprite severed all ties with him. Nike quietly made him disappear from print and television ads. And so Kobe lost millions of dollars for a scandal. Now, there was another celebrity in sacred Bible history. He was the Prince William at that time. He was good looking. He sang better than Justin Bieber. I don't even know how Justin Bieber sounds like. I just know he sings better than Justin Bieber. Amen. And notice what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6. The Bible says, and it came to pass that they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets of joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. So David had a female fan club that sang and danced and revered. He was the star of that time. He was a warrior. He was a soldier. He was a musician. He tended sheep. He was the ultimate eligible bachelor. But then he got married and he became king. But he was then, his good boy image went out the scene because he was involved in a major scandal. And what is that major scandal? Notice what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 5, this major scandal of this sacred Bible history celebrity. And it came to pass in evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Mistake number one, David looked at something he shouldn't have been looking at. And he looked too long. I'm being serious, brothers and sisters. I'm not even being funny. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." So David, a married man, sleeps with another man's wife, not only another man's wife, but his loyal soldier's wife. And because of that illicit action, Bathsheba is now with child. Now, I used to be in law school. In law school, in criminal law, there are two aspects to conviction. How many aspects? There is what's called mental intent and actual acting of the crime. You see, sin begins with the mind, the intent, and the heart. The decision is made, and then it's exercised through action. So you have the mental component, and you have the physical action. David thought about it. He sent for the wife, and he acted upon what he decided on mentally. And what does Jesus say? Notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 29. Notice the words of Jesus. "You have heard that it is said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery," physical act. "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." The mental component, already in the heart and the mind. "And if thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell." In other words, Jesus is saying, if there's something that is causing you to stumble and it's causing you to sin, Jesus says, cut it off. Lay off from it. If you're a cigarette addicted, flush all your cigarettes in the toilet. If you're an alcoholic, pour all the alcohol down the drain. Jesus is saying, if there's something that causes you to weak, cut it off. And so, David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Now, at that time, Israel was under what's called the Mosaic Law. And what happens when two people commit adultery? Notice what the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. The Bible says, "And the man that committed adultery with another man's wife, even he that committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." So who should die because of the actions of David and Bathsheba? David and Bathsheba. Both of them should die. So David broke the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, what did David do when he found out that Bathsheba was with child? Notice what the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 13. The Bible says, "And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him." This is Uriah. So he called Uriah and had him eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. David wanted Uriah to be drunken and eaten. He called him out on the battlefield, and he wanted Uriah to go and spend time with his wife to appear that Uriah was the father of the child. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die." David, because now he's caught in a scandal, attempted a cover-up. Have you noticed, no matter how much you try to cover up something, it comes out in the forefront? You look at governments, Watergate. You look at other politicians and spy agencies. They try to cover up everything. But somehow that scandal, that sin, finds us out and everyone gets to see that scandal. And so, David attempted to lie and to cover up his action. What did he do? What else did he do? Notice what the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 24. And so he sends Uriah out to the battlefield, to the hottest battle. He said, I need to get rid of Uriah. And because Uriah refused to spend time with his wife, he was focused on the battle. And the Bible says, and the shooter shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband, and when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So what did David do? David now violated the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. He was an accessory to murder. So now David committed adultery, he bare false witness, he killed. And what does the Bible say? James chapter 2, verse 10. Well, whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one point, he is guilty of all. He broke three commandments at the same time. He's triple guilty of breaking, is that 30 times 10 commandments? Times 3? I don't know. I'm terrible at math, even though I'm Korean. So, the Lord was displeased. Then the Lord sends a man of God named Nathan. And Nathan came to rebuke the sins of David. You know, we live in a time where we like flowery messages, do we not? We want to hear messages that make us feel comfortable. But sometimes God sends us messengers that tells us our true condition. Now, when September 11 happened, do you know, according to an article in Time magazine, that when the plane hit the tower, that those surviving members in the tower below the floors, below that floor that was burning, do you know what the announcement was? Remain calm. Stay at your office. Everything is under control. Now, would you want a peace and safety message at that time? Or do you want, get out of the building, no matter what tone it is? And so God sometimes sends messengers that might not be pleasing to our ears, but he's there to warn us, not because he hates us, not because he wants to verbally spank us, but because he wants to correct us out of his love. And so God sent Nathan, and Nathan told a parable to David of a poor man that had one sheep. And a rich man who had many sheep stole that one sheep, and David was guilty of stealing the wife of Uriah. He also broke that commandment. And notice the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David's reaction to Nathan's story. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. David was condemning himself. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. So David was upset, saying, how dare this rich man steal that only sheep? And Nathan said, thou art the man. You see, when we sin, there are natural consequences that result from that sin. There's always consequences to sin. And remember when David said that he should be punished fourfold? Do you know that four of David's sons died after that experience? The baby child that Bathsheba had with David, Ammon, Absalom, and another one that challenged Solomon's rulership in a later time. Four times, and four sons of David died. What goes around comes around. And so there are natural consequences to sin. And so, what happened? Notice what Nathan continues to say. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do the thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. So notice David, when David was convicted of sin, David made no excuse. He didn't say, well, you know, I was feeling weak that evening when I saw Bathsheba. And you know what men do, you know, we're just weak. No, David acknowledged it. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. No excuses. Did David deserve to die? And the law demanded that he should die. But what grace. That rebuking message of Nathan was mixed with the mercy of the gospel, saying, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. But isn't there a price for sin? Isn't there a price that needs to be paid for sin? Who paid the price? Notice what the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So, David would not die, but an innocent child would die in the place of David. And we know the text. You know the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And what happens? What are the wages of sin? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, how many of you believe it's harsh that an innocent child died for the sins of David and Bathsheba? Being honest, some of you are raising your hands. That's a natural reaction. Do you know there is a gospel message of why this baby died? Now, who was innocent that committed no sin, that was called the son of David? In fact, notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through 16. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 6. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. So there was a son that will come in the future that would die, that's called the son of David, that was from the same line of David and Bathsheba. You see, that son that died for David was a type of Jesus. God was showing in practical ways the consequences of sin. Imagine David now being attached, saying, I feel the responsibility of my sin because I'm responsible for the death of that child, knowing full well that he would also be responsible for the death of Jesus. Was Jesus innocent? Amen. Was that baby innocent? Yes, because that sin is a choice, and he committed no sin. And so the seed of David and Bathsheba, Jesus, was a prefigure or antitype of the type of that baby that died of Solomon, of Bathsheba and David. And we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so why did God allow his innocent son to die for you and I? If you have your Bibles, Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And when you're there, please say amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "For God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Was David saved through wrath by the death of that son? So too, that was a prefigure of Jesus. Verse 10, "For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So although we may fall into sin, although we may have scandals in our lives, and although we may deserve to die, there was one that was willing to die in our place, that was innocent of the crime, willing to die for you and I. What wonderful grace that Jesus showed for you and I. Amen? And when David heard that his son was to die, what happened to him? He mourned. He fasted. He was in sackcloth. He was interceding. He was desperate. He realized that his sin was responsible for the death of his son. And notice the experience that we must have when we realize that we sin. Notice what the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. The Bible says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." What is that talking about? Who is that talking about? It's talking about Jesus. You see, when we realize that we are responsible for Jesus on the cross, you know, we look at the Roman soldiers, "Oh, how can they do that? Oh, the Jews, how can they do that? Oh, how can they kill Jesus?" But do you know that you and I are directly responsible for the death of Jesus? And when we realize that, we recognize what price God paid to redeem us. We recognize how much God loves you and I, seeking to fix our scandals. And when we mourn for the sins and that we have pierced the Son of God, notice the experience that we have. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. "Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." When we realize that we are responsible for the death of Jesus, that is godly sorrow. But say we commit a sin and then we have to be carted off to prison. Suppose someone murdered somebody. And I said, "Oh, in a fit of passion, I broke the commandments of God. Oh, God, please forgive me. Get me out of prison." That's not godly sorrow. That's because you do not want to go to prison. But the sorrow that we must have is that we are directly responsible for the death of Jesus for our sins. And what happens? And so we experience what's called repentance, or the turning away from sin. And what allows us to repent? Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 9. "Or despisest thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long sufferings, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." It was the goodness of God to send Jesus down to this earth to be a human being and to die in our place, and that goodness should allow us to repent. Not because of the consequences of our sins, the natural consequences of a venereal disease if you had an unhealthy lifestyle, or that you'd be sent to prison if you did a crime. Not because of that, but because it is the goodness of God, realizing that Jesus, the Son of God, died for our sins. That should allow us to repent. And so David experienced what's called true repentance. And notice what the Bible says of David in Psalms 51. Notice the prayer that David did when he repented in Psalms 51, verse 1. The chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. What does it say? Blot out my transgression. What does blotting out mean? Erase. Delete. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. So what did David ask for? He asked for his sins to be blotted out. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And so David repented and he asked for a prayer to delete or blot out his sins. Now, many of you are on Facebook, am I correct, and social media? And sometimes you may go crazy and you might write a status update you regret. Isn't that correct? But you have the option of deleting. Is that correct? But if people saw it, they still remember, so you're still in trouble. But God is willing to delete the record of our scandals and our sins off the records of heaven. Do you know that God has a delete button? And that delete button was paid by the blood of Jesus? And so notice, when David asked for his sins to be blotted out, how did God remember David? In fact, notice the experience before we go on to that. Notice what we must do in order for our sins to be deleted or blotted out. The Bible says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse. What is that cleanse to? Another word is to blot out, to delete us from all unrighteousness. What do we need to do to have our scandals fixed? We need to confess and ask God for that experience. And when David asked for his sin to be deleted and blotted out from the Facebook of heaven, do you know heaven has a Facebook? These books of the judgment in Daniel 7 that have every thought, deed, and action on your status profile, everything in that Facebook in heaven. And do you know that when David asked for his Facebook of that Eat Life event to be deleted? In that timeline, that's correct. How did God respond? Notice what the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 7 and 8. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, my servant David, who kept my commandments. Wait a minute, he broke three of the commandments. And who followed me with all his heart, and to do only which was right in mine eyes. So a man that sinned, the man that grievously sinned, now God remembered as keeping his commandments. Why? Because David asked to have his sins blotted out because he experienced true repentance. He realized that his sin was responsible for the death of Jesus. And what did David receive from God? Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. We don't need to cover up. God will cover up for us. And I'd rather have God covering us up than we try to cover up, because when we try to cover up, it'll all be out in the open anyway. So why not go to the expert? Amen? But not only was David forgiven of his sin, David experienced victory over that sin. How do we know? Notice what the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heed. Wherefore his servant said unto him, Let there be sought of my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heed. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and found Abigail the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. So now David was now in his closing years of the life, and at that time there was no electric blanket or there was no warmth. So his brilliant advisor said, okay, we'll find the most beautiful woman, a supermodel quality woman, out in all of Israel and Judea, a cover model, and we'll just have her cover up David. But how did David respond? And the damsel was very fair. She was very beautiful. Supermodel of Judea. And cherished the king and ministered to him. But the king knew her not. Even in the midst of that temptation, because Jesus cleansed that sin, created in him a new heart. Therefore, David repented of that sin and not fell back into that sin. He achieved, through the grace of God, victory over that sin. Even in the face of a beautiful supermodel. And so, what does the Bible say, John 14:15? If you love me, keep my commandments. We know that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And when we experience the goodness of God, we fall in love with Jesus. And when we fall in love with Jesus, we respond by keeping his commandments. And is the keeping the commandments hard when we love somebody? 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. But this we know, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. Do you know love makes it easy? Now I'm told some of you young people here are into Korean Hallyu entertainment. Is that correct? I see you guys laughing. Korean fans are crazy. Do you know they'll wait outside in the cold, freezing of Seoul to try to meet their fans or their stars, and drive and follow them all around in the cold and the heat, and spend thousands of dollars in money to try to attract that star, and to donate thousands of dollars to their foundation, and do all sorts of crazy things? I call that persecution. But why does he do that? Or why do they do that? Why? Because they love that celebrity. See, when we love Jesus, keeping the commandments will not be burdensome. And we know that God remembers everything, does he not? When God is infinite, God remembers everything. But what does God choose to do when we ask for our sins to be blotted out? The Bible says, even I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Are you telling me that God is willing to forget the being that remembers everything, willing to forget our sins if we confess our sins and ask for our sins to be blotted out? When we do something bad, people remember, no matter what you do. Micah chapter 7, verse 19, he will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, that will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. You see, brothers and sisters, human beings will remember the bad things that we do, the scandals we do. It is recorded on Facebook. It is recorded on video. It's on television. In fact, another Korean incident. There was a Korean girl band that was in the cusp of being the number one superstar girl group last year. But they were caught in a scandal. The members ganged up and bullied the youngest member out of the group. And do you know that the Korean fans dug up all the dirt of each and every member? They posted videos of what they did in the past, how bad they did it. They showed videos and they posted all on the internet. And till this day, they remind those group members of what they did. People do not remember, but God people will remember, but God chooses to forget. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Centuries from the scene. Notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, as we bring some final points. Acts 13, verse 22. Acts 13, verse 22. The Bible says, when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, and he shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So out of the DNA of one of the vilest sinners came forth Jesus. And how does God remember David? Which shall fulfill all my will. And what is the will of God? Psalms 48, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. There are many things that we may be ashamed of that we have done. Even though people have not seen it or discovered it, there might be skeletons in our closet, things that we are ashamed of. And we deserve the consequences of those actions. But Jesus said, my child, let me cover up that scandal. Let me even go beyond covering up. I want to blot it out. Delete it. I will forget it. I, the God, the creator of the universe, forget what humanity does. I will forget your sin. Jesus is willing to do that for you and I because he bare the wrath of God at the cross to die for you and I's scandals. And Jesus is seeking to fix scandals, to blot them out of our life record, to press the delete button with the blood of Jesus, so that in God's eyes, don't matter what other people think, doesn't matter what people on this earth think, but in God's eyes, you are clean and righteous and perfect in the eyes of God because Jesus spilt his blood for you and I. As we close, my friend Kathleen is going to sing a sermon and song. And I want you to meditate upon his words of this sermon and song.
We're getting an iPad. Hold on.
Why should he love me? so. Meekly to Calvary's cross he was led. Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? His hands and his feet for my sin. Why should he love me so? He suffered sore my salvation to win. Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? There in my place, why should he love me so? Nothing withholding my sin to efface, why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go?
Why should he love us so? We love him because he first loved us. If you desire to say today, Father, today I want to accept the blood that Jesus shed for me on Calvary. I want to accept you as a Savior of my life. Or recommit to that. I want you to blot out the scandals of my life so that I'll be clean and righteous in the eyes of heaven. If that's your desire, I simply ask that we kneel for that experience, if that's your desire. And if it's not your desire, you can remain sitting. You're not offending the preacher. Our Father and God in heaven, Father, in one of the sordid accounts of scandals in biblical sacred history, your redemption plan, your love for us has been clearly seen. Father, we thank you for turning the scandals and the skeletons in our closets, in our secret chambers of our heart, and to wipe them clean with the blood of Jesus. And so, Father, your people and myself, we are kneeling to ask for the experience, for the forgiving blood of Jesus, not only the forgiving blood, but the power to free us from all sin. And so, Father, we accept the sacrifice that Jesus has done for us. We ask for forgiveness for personally killing Jesus on the cross, for nailing him with our sins. And so, Father, we ask for a new, renewed experience with Thee, that through Your power, that all the sordid details of our lives will be washed clean and deleted and blotted out. Father, we thank You that although human beings remember long the bad things that we do, that You choose to forget. And so, Father, we thank Thee for Your love, and we repent because of Your goodness, and we ask You keep us and protect us as we begin a new work week. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.